The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. Johnny, Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money. Managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you to create better financial habits. Envision your long-term goals and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of Johnny, Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Good evening. Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich and Stephen Lucan, certified financial planners. How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing great.
Well, we're getting into the season, I think.
Are you done with your holiday shopping?
I've been done with that for
January
years. January 1 of last year, absolutely, no question. But I am buying 200% of what I bought last year.
Wow, generous.
Yeah, I'm getting real good at this stuff.
You there know, we go.
200% of zero is what?
Still the same.
Still zero. You got that.
You might have to have inflationary next year.
I guess
300%
so.
Maybe?
Okay. We'll do that just because. Well, you know, this is the season. I'm just looking at the traffic and all these people running around no matter what time of day it is. And they're out shopping, I suppose, or going to special luncheons and reward things and so on and so forth. But yet we know at this time of year, something like 40% of Americans feel pressure because they have to spend on holiday matters. So what do we know about this kind of stuff, guys, as relates to financial planning?
I mean, this is something that, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm hearing, you know, our fellow planner, Tony Payne, screaming, yelling, because his favorite things in the world are managing cash flow and having a cash reserve.
Watch out that he doesn't call in.
I know. I know. But having those two things and having them in good order, I mean, you should be preparing for this Christmas expense every single month of the year. And that may not mean necessarily setting savings aside, but in your mind, knowing that, hey, I'm going to have this big expense. I may have a larger than normal credit card bill. I need to have enough cash to pay that off, not carry that balance over and accrue interest. So it's all about planning and just being aware of what's going on and whatnot. And especially for me, I mean, half my family, more than half, have their birthdays in January. So, you know, we have Christmas on the 25th. My dad's birthday is the 3rd. My mom's is the 6th. My middle brother's the 28th. And then my youngest brother is February 9th. So you want to talk about boom, boom, boom.
That's good planning.
Just roll them all together. Give one coupon and say,
I saw you. I've tried, but I think we all know how that goes over. So.
This is the time of year I like talking about the living expense worksheet, even though any time is a good time to talk about it. But when you talk about it in the beginning of the year, it sort of gets lost upon. It's converted to that budgetary word versus the actual real life. So knowing what you're spending for holiday gifts is the critical piece. And I'd say go back to last year. Check what your December spending was a year ago, and that's where you can find those trends and then stick to it.
Exactly.
Right? Stick to it. Find
the statements on your credit cards and whatever else you've used.
And stick to it, and that could help at least gauge and give you a guideline as to what you will spend and you have to adjust it.
That's for sure.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend.
And family is under the most pressure.
Look, Daddy, Jesus, every time a bell rings,
all those gifts and providing all those parties and special times and so on and so forth. So we don't want anyone to struggle. We did a big thing on this a few weeks ago about Christmas spending, holiday spending, and so forth. So we're not going to do that today. But just alert you, as you said, Stephen, that the people need to be prepared. You know, the single most important thing you do about your financial planning is to grab hold of who you are financially. Just remember, when you go to the doctor, for example, and you walk in, what do? They have someone greet you at the desks and ask you to fill out some forms, and then they take you back and embarrass you by standing on a weight scale, and then eventually the doctor pulls you in, and only after they've done all this examination can the doctor make some responsible recommendations. The same thing is true of your finances, except there's no doctor involved. It has to be you involved, and you have to examine what's my income, what's happening in my expenses, what expenses are coming up down the road so that I don't go crazy and buy that, Lexus or whatever it is. I see these commercials on the television today where people are giving cars to each other for the holidays. That just, they're not paying cash for those cars, and so we don't want you to stress.
Yeah, who's
that
really
much.
Getting the gift at that point?
Yeah,
right.
Household stress.
Exactly right.
For the extra car payment.
So we don't want that to happen to you. So be aware. Don't stress out on that. Well, but switching then, when we talk about gifts on the holidays and spending money and giving some help, one of the things you can do is help those millennials coming out of school who are worried about jobs and incomes and what to do, because they're typically totally unprepared for what's down the road, or even what's going to hit them as soon as they get out the door. So
yeah.
What are some things we ought to talk about there?
So, I mean, just thinking about that, exactly like you said, John, a lot of people are unprepared for what the, quote, real world is like. You know, the biggest thing that I learned coming out of school is that you're not going to land your dream job probably right off the bat. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to ask questions. You're going to have to, you know, rub a few elbows and, you know, meet some people and network yourself. Thankfully, got connected with Steven and you guys, and here I am today. But the biggest thing is realizing that as you're doing it, what fundamentals need to be in place. So budgeting, you know, we think of gifts being some kind of tangible thing, but there's simple things like we've talked about, bestowing upon your children the idea of saving and maybe giving them like a matching contribution towards a retirement plan if they can do it. Still tangible. It's not going to be something that they unwrap a given day, but do something like that. Consider paying for them to work with a career coordinator to kind of walk them through the hiring process and make sure that they are getting interviews and getting all the necessary things to put off that right image right from the beginning. I think back to last year, I was meeting with someone and they came in and said, you know, basically, I don't know what to get my kids for Christmas this year. And I said, well, what are you doing with their financial plan, or do they have a plan? No, they have nothing, was their response. So simple things like they were starting their family, they just had their first child. I said, what if you paid for them to meet with an estate attorney, talk about what they may want to do, God forbid something happens to them. That gives you more peace of mind, and it's something where, yeah, they're not going to see the dollars and cents right away, but they're going to have a strong foundation in place that most people never even think about.
Exactly right. So putting them in, bringing them into the world of reality, which begins with, just like we said earlier, your cash flow. Mm-hmm. So if they have little or no cash flow, maybe they're working a part-time job at a fast food place and not making a lot of money, but they can still take advantage of an IRA, for example. And if they don't have the cash to do that, you can supplement that for them so they can make a contribution on their own behalf and fund their own IRA. So be aware of that.
And teach them what taxes are all about.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly.
When they get that paycheck, go through the paycheck with them. Teach them what FICA means, Social Security, 401k, whatever that may be. Those are all line items that they need to learn.
Exactly.
And the sooner they learn, the better it is for them, even through the whole college process. You know, educate them on the cost of college, not just, oh, it's going to be taken care of because Junior wants to go to school in North Carolina versus the state they live in or wherever it may be, and then educate on the total costs that are involved.
Right. And, I mean, the biggest thing, too, is that we look back at this, and aside from parents actually bestowing this knowledge upon their children, there's nothing set up in the education system right now for people to be forced to take financial awareness or financial planning classes. Personal finance, when I was in high school, it was an elective. So I think
you had an elective. I didn't
have that. That's pretty amazing.
Exactly.
Right there.
I had to learn how to sew and home ec.
And that was about it. That was a financial planning. But no, I even went out recently and met with some of the local high schools and students there to kind of teach them about, you know, what is credit. How do you use credit effectively and very basic things that we oftentimes take for granted. But just getting that built into the curriculum or bringing that awareness so that way people know, hey, when I get my first paycheck, I do need to set money aside for taxes or I do need to set something aside for retirement. It gives them that idea of not everyone's going to be there, you know, offering out a helping hand all the time or anything like that.
Exactly right. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll pick up on this conversation. In the meantime, realize you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina, and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News and World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Stephen Lucan, Craig Konstantinovich, both certified financial planners. And we're discussing some of the unusual things you can do around the holiday times with gifts that may or may not cost you a lot of money and may or may not influence your children to better their own lives and get a better start than maybe even you yourself had. And so we were talking about a lot of items in the last segment, but now let's talk about one of the gifts could be, as you brought up earlier, Craig, having the parents provide for the children a certified financial planner.
Absolutely. Yes. So a lot of times people, especially those youngsters just getting out of school, what they realize is, I may not have all the answers. I did all this great education. I'm a doctor, a scientist, you know, whatever the case may be, but I don't necessarily know how to manage my finances appropriately. Who should I go to, or how should I start to manage this so that way I can have my dream house, have a strong family foundation built, all those other things? And it's starting out by working with a financial planner and doing it earlier rather than later.
Right, and a certified financial planner.
Exactly.
Because you want to have
the only certified financial planner.
You beat me to the punch there, Stephen.
You taught me well, John.
Good. I'm glad for the reflex there, my friend. Absolutely, positively. So a certified financial planner who is fee-only, which is surely a benefit of the child, and you need to understand the difference so you can explain it to your child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are the cost savings to a child in using a fee-for-services financial planner? And they could be astronomical. I read an article recently that was pointing out that if you're expending X percent of your portfolio to these people who are advising you and commissions and whatever else, that's eroding your return dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're making 4% return and they're eroding 1.5%, what are you making? 2.5% return on your portfolio. So you need to know that. You need to know the various ways that someone can charge. So some planners who are fee-only will charge an hourly rate. And, of course, we always recommend that if you're the planner, that's not a good way to go because you're mm-hmm. always going to lose money. And therefore, in my mind, it doesn't really behoove the client either, because if the planner is out there paying attention to the time, then he or she may not be responsive to the need. So, for example, in our process, we don't do that. There's just an open end where we can spend as much time considering what's going on with the client. The other way is there are some people out there who are really big on this AUM, guys. What's that all about?
So AUM stands for Assets Under Management.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah, if you were the advisor, certainly.
Uh-huh.
But basically the idea here is they're only compensated based on the assets that they manage. So if you have a goal of getting debt-free, paying off your student loans, paying off a house, but you also need to save for retirement, and let's say you have an extra $10,000 that you could do one or the other with, well, the AUM person has an incentive to tell you, hey, put this towards retirement, invest this, so that way they make more money, even though that could be better used to pay down your debt and get you into a better cash flow situation.
Well, it depends on what your goals are.
Exactly.
If your goals are to be debt-free, pay the debt. Mm-hmm. It should be a goal-oriented process, not, if I can get a higher return on my investments than what the interest rate is on the loan. Yeah, it may make sense in that dollars and cents, but if your goal is to get out of debt as soon as possible, go for it.
Exactly right. And you don't want to be trapped in the more philosophy, M-O-R-E, because that philosophy is I can make you more, I can get you a higher rate of return, and so on and so forth. As we work on the enough philosophy, what's mm-hmm. enough to get you where you need to go. So that's the AUM, and then there are some who charge just a flat fee for the year, and or they may charge a flat fee for part one to write the plan, part two to present the plan, part three to implement the plan. I'm really against that, because people who run into that, now you've done one and two, they paid you some money, and now you say, okay, it's going to be another $1,000 to implement. And they just, well, I don't want to spend that money. And so where are they? They're worse than when they came to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're sitting there, they know what their problems are, and they're not implementing to solve those problems. And so the stress is even
greater.
It's
like all the parts are out of the engine and on the floor.
Exactly.
And now how do you put it back together?
You got it. So those are some of the ways that people are charging these days. And obviously there's some combination of those. But so be aware, and you need to understand that and teach it to your child so that the child can then research and become part of it. I'm thinking of a young friend who's, I think, 10 years old. And his parents said he really had a hankering for, you know, wanting to do this stuff, And so I've been kind of talking to him and giving him some ideas and some books. And NAPA has this young children's program that people can hook up to. And this kid's really amazing. And today received a text from him saying he's made his first investment. So it's about 6 months in the process. And he's watching videos on TD Ameritrade's website and reading stuff as best he can. So it's very, very exciting to me to realize here's a person learning so that as he matures, he'll be able to make regular, reasonable investments on his own behalf and his family's behalf. So that's what you need to teach your child. That's what not, yeah, should you do it when they're 8 years old? Yeah, I think so.
Right.
And I think we started teaching Allison when she was six or younger. We called it the snowball. She'll roll her eyes up, Stephen, when you mention that to her. But I always talked to her about the snowball, and the snowball was, you know, you always put away a little bit of money. And I explained to her, how do you explain to a young child about compound interest? So she and I used to go skiing all the time. And so one year it came to me, you know, Allison, if you take a little tiny bit of snow and you roll it up in a little snowball and you roll it down the hill, by the time it gets to the bottom of the hill, it could be a monstrous snowman. And so that's the snowball effect of putting away a little bit of money now and as you mature. So reach out to your child even before they're the millennials and help educate them on some of this stuff. So
and I'll say that a lot of it starts with, you know, when they start, you're always asked, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't know if that really happens anymore these days. If it does, great. But it has to be, instead of what you want to be, it almost has to be, what do you want when you grow up?
Mm, good.
And then you can tie the two together and be like, okay, if you want to be this, here's really the path of life that you're going to go down, which is fine, because it's all about the reward and fulfillment of life. That's the important things. But making sure that if you're going down one path, that you know what the means are, the financial means, that what's going to set your foundation for the rest of your life.
Right, and that would have a big impact too, what you decide to study in school.
And where to go to school.
And so you're not right. Going to school anticipating grabbing all this student debt, causing a great pressure on yourself later in life without recognizing the career path you chose was not really conducive to making any money to pay off the debt.
Right.
So exactly right. Who you want to be.
And the other point too, and I think we're all saying it and just kind of taking it as an assumption that's happening, but talking about money is not as taboo as it previously was thought to be. The best way to get your child involved and aware is include them in some of the financial decisions that you have to make on a regular basis. You know, why do we get store brand as opposed to brand name, this, that, or the other? That way you can start to show them the benefit of doing this or doing that, or, you know, being aware of your spending habits as opposed to just jumping into it.
Right, clipping coupons or knowing the fuel rewards and then going to the fuel, see how much you saved on the tank of gas because you went to the shopping mall and got your fuel rewards. So
that's
all those things add up, and it's just an education on what money is all about.
I think Bobby told me she spent, are you ready for this, $1.62 on premium gasoline.
So your holiday gifts were good then.
So all those Kroger points or whatever they were, She managed to really save a good deal of money on gasoline, so be aware of all that sort of thing. Well, when we come back, we'll pick up with this topic. But in the meantime, if you have some questions and you want to call our office, do so at 614-326-3077, and you can schedule a complimentary meeting with one of our planners, and we'll ask you to complete a questionnaire in advance so that the meeting is productive. In the meantime, you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
610 WTVN. Columbus's news, traffic, and weather station.
Welcome Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich and Stephen Lucan, certified financial planners. And we're trying to move along and give you some thoughts regarding the holiday weekend and a time period, not just about the, you know, Christmas gifts and budgeting your spending and so forth, but some unusual approaches to what should be considered. In our last segment, we talked about a gift to your children of knowledge, basically, helping them with their career starts, maybe hiring a career consultant and some other issues like that, and then helping them financially, perhaps you providing for them a certified financial fee-only planner and that sort of thing. Well, now we want to move on into a little more awareness because there was recently a FINRA. What's that? The federal something something.
Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
Yes, which is no fun if they come knocking on your door. And they came out with a report recently where they talked about some not so good things that we want to share for you or sensitize you to so that you don't get caught in the some of these webs that were created by these, I don't know that they're reputable, but these people who are causing at least some confusion. How does that sound?
No, it makes sense because this goes back to what you always give the analogy of the hammer and the nail, right? If somebody thinks they're a hammer, everything's a nail to them. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with things like an annuity, that's the solution to everyone's problems if you're an annuity salesperson. Now, I'm not going to blanket every one of them, but a large majority, the solution to anyone's problem when someone is selling an annuity is an annuity. And that's not necessarily the truth. And that's what FINRA has discovered. They've been doing some exams and they're finding fault with the sales of variable annuities, non-traded REITs, and other private placements, because a lot of times that's what's being, go sell it. Right, that's not necessarily what the individual needs, and that's where it comes in the fiduciary and suitability standards. Something that has been come to light in the last few years is fiduciary is you represent the customer, the client. Suitability, you have an excuse to say, oh, yeah, they could use it, even though it wasn't necessarily ideal for their situation.
And what we're talking about here are some instruments that I'll say the middle class people tend to be buying, as well as maybe some upper class, but we talked about the variable annuities. We're going to get into that a little more, but also we're talking about REITs, real estate investment trusts. People say, I want to buy real estate, and they hear about these REITs, and they don't realize that these are untraded vehicles, and that can get them into a little bit of a trouble. And there's the some of the notes that they can buy and sell that you have to really be reasonably sophisticated to get into that marketplace. But these folks are bringing them to the table, and the unsophisticated investor tends to get in trouble whenever they try to buy these things. So what else did FINRA find out here, guys?
Yeah, so basically, again, the goal of submitting this report is to educate the consumer. So the goal is to avoid potential deficiencies by the next report. Again, basically someone just looking out for your best interest beyond, you know, what you can read on the internet or anything like that. But the biggest thing is, you know, Stephen, as you had said, suitability. For those that FINRA looked into, they said that there was a number of advisors that were recommending or over-concentrating on variable annuities. And we did an entire show on annuities alone. Variable, I think, took up half the show.
Right.
And that's all stuff that you can reference on our website, Managing to Be Wealthy. Click on the radio show tab, and we have an archive there. So if that's something you're interested in, we've got plenty of content on it. But these are some of the most complex investments that are out there.
They can search on that website. Is that correct?
There's a search field. Type in annuities, and you'll see the shows that we discuss annuities.
Right, so you don't just have to guess which one it was. So that's kind of helpful. Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, this is one of the more complex things. And, unfortunately, there's not as much transparency as someone saying, I'm going to charge you X amount of dollars or Y. It's, well, I'll give you this investment option, but this one may be a little bit more expensive than that. And, you know, if you have it in this kind of account, I'm going to be more benefit, or it's going to benefit me more than if it was in a different kind of account. There's all sorts of different nuances where if you don't sit down and do this on a daily basis, you're probably going to get lost in some of the minutia.
Yeah, I think we all had a headache after we did that annuity show.
Yeah, I need a stiff
and we
drink.
didn't begin to get into the full depth of the thing. But
right,
what they pointed out was that similarly, they were exchanging variable annuity one for another, and they ignored the increased fees and losses. I think of one widow that I remember who had some annuities, and she was in a nursing home and had to have a custodian now. And when the custodian came in and realized what this person had, it was just pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went and fought to get it changed. He wanted to get her a refund or something of that nature. But instead, what happened is the agent just exchanged funds for other annuities.
Oh,
and
man.
So there were increased costs. She really was not much better off. So the other thing, as you did mention, is the unfavorable tax treatment that they're not aware of in some of these transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a piece that you have to watch out for. And we talked about the REITs, REIT, at REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust. And those get very popular when people think, you know, the market like now is, you know, volatile, be aware. And they want to be in the real estate game. And they say, well, this is real estate. Truth is, some real estate investment trust don't know.
Right.
they're in the real estate business, but it's not real estate.
Right.
So you have to be very, very aware, and you need to know all that sort of stuff. And they were talking about generally high commission products, which were the incentive, as you pointed out, for these folks to be bringing up all mm-hmm. these little topics.
So, John, you know, again, you've got just a few years of experience, right?
A little.
I know when we talk about like alternative investments and real estate in particular, you have some pretty steadfast rules that you abide by. Can you just give us a few examples of those?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know if we have time for all of that, Craig, but you know, if you're going to buy real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to kick the side of the building and the mortar and so forth. And where possible, if you're going to individually be investing in real estate, I feel it should not be more than a 2.5-hour drive from where you live, because all real estate is local.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing to recognize. You have to really understand the local environment to make a prudent real estate investment. So if you can drive to it, one of my best stories was I had some... I went to the West Coast and mm-hmm. was talking about investment propositions, and I was trying to make this point. And so when I went to them, I said, look, I'm going to propose. This was all hypothetical, of course. And I said, I want to propose to you, we're going to build this incredible high-end apartment complex that's just going to be overwhelmed by people who are looking for this kind of thing. This is many years ago before Columbus was as booming as it is now. And I said, where we're going to build it is where there's nothing now. And you know where that was? South of the city. So they said, why south of the city? Well, look there. There's vacant land. What they didn't recognize was that south of the city was the dump.
And literally.
So, it was literally the dump.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can see these people sitting on their balconies and and smelling the aroma of the dump as they're barbecuing their hot dogs or whatever they have out there. So you can go on and talk about this stuff and be very, very confused if you're not aware of what the local environment is. So be aware. So in the case of REITs, not a big fan of that because, again, they're more tricky than most people will understand. Well, it looks like we're coming up against a break again, guys. And so when we pick up, we'll continue giving you some ideas about this type of topic. And we hope that you'll call our offices, 614-326-3077. And schedule a time with one of our planners. It's complimentary. In the meantime, recognize you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News and World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Stephen Luca and Craig Konstantinovich, both certified financial planners. And tonight we're going through a series of things to get you thinking about where your money is going in light of the holidays. And this isn't just budgeting to buy Christmas presents. So now we've come to the place where most folks are interested in when they talk about financial planning, and that's retirement. And so we do want to touch on that from a little bit of a different perspective. We want to talk about it from the point of view that retirement planning is kind of broken.
In society, yes.
In society, yeah. that it's really amazing. It's also interesting why in the world we plan for retirement. You know, the previous generations didn't do that. They just worked till they dropped. And then along came Roosevelt and Social Security, got us through the Depression and so forth, some of that bad stuff. And then all of a sudden we had this Social Security thing, and we have the one of the original certificates or a duplicate of one of the original certificates hanging in the office. And you remember, Craig, how much Social Security withholding was back then?
I do not.
Yeah, go read it again. It was like 1%. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. But once that came into play, then there was an age fixed on when you would collect those benefits. And that tended to become an age when people would consider stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became the age 65. And so people began to plan around age 65. But as we often point out to folks, retirement is it's not really retirement. It's financial independence that we're searching for. And financial independence means you might sit on the porch and watch the grass grow. But by the same token, you may just change the direction of your ship. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go write a book. Maybe you travel around the world. Maybe who knows what you want to do? Or you keep on working.
Right. You have choices and options.
That's the whole point. Financial independence is about options. So we talk about being broken here. We know that about 65% of Americans are thinking about or worrying about their retirement. That's a dramatic number, guys.
That is a large. I would guess then 65% of Americans don't use a financial planner.
Is this a pitch,
but I preach that quite a bit when I tell, isn't it? Don't you feel good that you know exactly, even if it's okay, if something goes wrong, when you have a contingency and you know that other route if something does go wrong, but at least the awareness is there and you're sort of ahead of the situation. Not necessarily in control, because you're not, but you've got a good grasp of what's going on.
Exactly. In fact, there was an article recently I read that pointed that very fact out, Stephen, that those people who did have a financial planner were A, more successful, but also more confident as to what was happening in their life, even though they might have gone through a tragedy or substantial loss or whatever. So you're right on target with that. So what else is the issue with this when you're working for your retirement broken?
You mentioned the Social Security aspect, but the other big factor that has set this in motion, this uncertainty, is the pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's pretty much a dead animal these days.
Pension plan? What's that?
Exactly.
What's the pension plan?
Right. So when you hear pension plans these days, usually it's probably because something is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, in the old days, let's call it the factory workers or whatnot, that the company or factory they worked for the 30-plus years, put money in a savings account for them. And then when that individual retired, they received a benefit. So they received Social Security and a pension. So that's gone. That pretty much is a dead animal. They do exist, but it's very rare. I would say maybe, I don't know, numbers, maybe 5% at most.
Well, there's some state programs, state pensions. You know,
mm-hmm,
we hear
correct.
That Illinois is trying to solve their pension. What is it, $30 billion deficit or
right.
whatever?
Kentucky's in deep water,
Kentucky's
too.
Kentucky's in deep trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting is the states have come along and they made all these promises in the form of pensions to all these state employees. And now they're up against it because they don't have the funds. And, you know, as the market turns and so on and so forth. So they're making changes. You know, they're going to have to do that, because otherwise they're just going to raise your taxes, those who are still working. And how are they going to fund for this thing?
Yeah.
Well, Illinois said, we'll put in a casino. Well, Columbus already has a casino.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll also be selling marijuana. Well,
mm-hmm.
I guess we're headed in that direction,
and
too.
And sports gambling.
And yeah, that's right? Sports gambling. So they're looking for all these ways.
California wants to tax text messaging.
I love that. I have to go there next week, and oh, Lord, I don't want to go there.
Don't text anybody. You might get taxed.
Can you believe that? They want to tax text messages.
Yep.
But indeed, they want to do that. Now, the real challenge is, I mean, my guess is even in Ohio, when the original lotto system was set up, it was set up for what purpose? Do you guys even know?
No idea.
You're so young.
It was to fund the pension benefits, wasn't it?
No, it was to fund education.
Education,
it was
right.
to fund education. So we'd have no educational problems. We have plenty of money for education and so on and so forth. Did it do that? No, not at all.
I guess not.
We don't even know where the money is. I mean, mm-hmm. where's the money being used? I'm sure there's some accounting somewhere that we could find out. But the problem with those programs is when these politicians say, we're going to put this in play, and this is to solve the pension plan, pension dilemma, I always roll my eyes and, you know, go have a cup of coffee or something because, you know, there seems to be a great fallacy there. But pensions are, you know, they have pretty much disappeared from what they were. The other major advantage of the pensions was the employee did not have to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the employee is responsible for funding 100% of his or her retirement plan or whatever what's going to happen.
And that's pretty much what gotten lost for a lot of people.
Yes.
They don't think it's they never think as to, oh, now I have to do that because I'm not, the pension's not there. Because it sort of just was a flip of the switch.
Yep.
No one educated the employee.
And that's why you need to pay attention to your 401ks, and we talk a lot about those, or your IRAs and those other kind of programs, and you have to be working on those, understand those, because that's part of what's broken is people don't realize that now is their... I was talking to some people the other night, and this guy was saying, yeah, I'm funding my 401k plan, but he wasn't funding it to the max. At least he was doing up to the match, which was good, mm-hmm. but he wasn't funding it to the max. Got to realize this is your vehicle. This is what you have. And beyond that, you have your IRA and whatever else you can do that way. But for the most part, pay attention to your 401k.
On that note, a lot of times you'll hear, oh, I'm maxing my 401k. You're mm-hmm. like, well, how much are you putting in? Oh, like 8%.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, are you sure that's max? And, well, that's what the company matches, and that's not maxing out your 401k. So understand what the maximum. Maximum is $18,500 for this year. Next year it's $19,000. And if you're over age 50, you get an additional $4,500 or $5,000,
$6,000.
So it'll be $25,000 next year. So that's what maxing your 401k is all about.
And you have to recognize that this is your source, and therefore, when people say, "Well, I can't afford it,"
you must can't afford not it. To.
You cannot afford to not fund it 100%
right.
because you're going to be there's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, who's going to take care of you if you don't fund your own retirement? And we see that today with retired Americans. Baby boomers are in real challenges. And, you know, they're having to think they're grateful for reverse mortgages and home equity loans and trying to sell their house in a good or bad market and so forth just to be able to fund their retirement. And also remember, in your retirement, the last few years are when the major health costs occur.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need, you know, you may be starting out pretty well and thinking I'm doing okay, but be aware. So don't let this thing be broken in your case. So what else about this broken retirement, guys?
Well, something we talked about earlier, education, right? Most school systems don't have a financial literacy or personal finance classes, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. It is important. Well, it looks like we ran out of time before we could fix all the broken parks, but that's why we hope people will listen to Managing to Be Wealthy each week so we can have more information. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to email us with questions or recommendations, you can always do so by emailing us where, Craig?
So that would be on our website. We've got a link where you can ask a question to a planner, and that way we can get any topics that you're interested in or want to learn more about that way. And then we've got, as we talked about earlier, an archive of all the podcasts, very nice, easy, user-friendly search field where you can pull up old shows and listen to How Else to Be Wealthy.
Well, that is going to do it for tonight, guys. You've been listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.